Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is Dr. Mike Roizen. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual podcast. Every Tuesday at 7 a.m. on iHeartRadio, Radio MD, tune in, whole bunch of other places. You can download the podcast, listen to it, and we'd love you to rate us and tell your friends about us. Have them rate us, too. We talk about the most important issues for you to take control of you and your family's health. Plus, of course, top podcast, 817. I can't tell you. It was a great. If you missed it, you want to listen to it. Leslie Mickelson, 816. Charlie Hennekins, he was also on 814. We had to have him back. It's how toothpaste can save your life. Toothpaste HD. Actually, that's not the name of the toothpaste. You'll have to tune in if you want to hear about it. But hear about it because it's how to decrease inflammation. Remarkable story. So, this is podcast 818. And we're going to talk about something unrelated to, I guess it's unrelated, but also related to the story about toothpaste, because it is a story about gum disease. This by e-cigarettes, and one of the stories from last week that we didn't get to. We have a whole bunch of stories that I never get to in these podcasts. Maybe we ought to do a podcast about the stories I miss. But this one, Matt, was about Philip Morris. Philip Morris said they're going away from cigarettes in the traditional sense because they burn too hot, and that causes inflammation, and you can get rid of 90% of the toxins, they say, by going to something that just burns at a low level. That's so much BS. Maybe they're right on the facts. But this story, again, e-cigarettes, not good to gums, a study finds. Yeah, they even used, I think they used, from what I can read here, one of Philip Morris's e-cigarettes to test this. That is, electronic cigarettes are as harmful to your gums and teeth and cause inflammation in your periodontal disease. The study out of the University of Rochester exposed non-smokers' gum tissue to e-cigarette vapors. Their findings counter-arguments that the battery-operated devices, or that just burning the tobacco rather than putting it on fire, is healthier than cigarette smoking. They showed that the vapors from e-cigarettes are burned. It causes cells to release inflammatory proteins that were as bad for your body. They caused as much inflammation in the humans as did smoking cigarettes. The researchers also found that the flavoring chemicals used in e-cigarettes play a role in damaging cells in your mouth. Oh man, that's horrible. Okay, that is absolutely horrible. Who's our guest today? Our guest today is written the book Lymphedema. By the way, we've had just such a series of sensational guests on. I almost hate to tell you that this one's going to be just as good, but this is a really interesting topic. Lymphedema and lipedema, they are in fact lymph flow, which increases the swelling and is often painful. Lymphedema is a painful swelling, usually after cancer surgery, but commonly after cancer. Lipedema is just the a fat swelling, and it's painful fat, usually in the area after, and it's usually in the hips and thighs. No one knows why it occurs. Well, maybe they do, and maybe we're going to find out something and let you in on the secret, because our guest, which is Karen Herbst, Dr. Herbst is a PhD, has written this book with a number of other people on the nutrition guide, food, vitamins, minerals, and supplements to help you get cured of lymphedema and lipedema, or at least manage it, that means they must have some knowledge about the basic mechanism of this, because you need to know something about the basic mechanism to be able to do a cure. So this is part of 818, and I got to tell you, 817, we also talked about the decrease in life expectancy in the United States for the first time since 1999. I'm afraid that our bad lifestyle habits are beginning to catch up with the improvement in outcome from treatments. That is, why is our lifespan expanded? Well, we've had a whole raft of things, from penicillin and antibiotics to better treatment for heart disease, medications to treat blood pressure, vaccines to prevent cancer with HPV, and just remarkable treatment advances. But if you've got so much increase in chronic disease, that's going to overwhelm it. And that's what appears to be happening. So we've got to tell you, the last guest, Leslie Michelson, the Patient's Playbook, Find the No Mistake Zone, was really about treatment and how you get it. But it also talked about how you get a great primary care practitioner. 818, this one is Karen Louise Herbst, How to Treat a Specific Condition. 816 and 814 were Hennekins, about inflammation and the heart. One of my idols, Charlie Hennekins, he really did a great job in talking about a specific toothpaste and why it cuts down on inflammation. The story that we did last week on U.S. life expectancy is also one that is talking about the gender gap in life expectancy around the world. The gender gap is persisting. Women are living longer than men, and considerably longer, and that is around the world. It isn't just in the United States where we have violence in men killing off young men. It's in Denmark, where they don't have much violence. It's in Russia, where they just have a lot of bad medical habits. It's in China. It's in Japan. Why does it persist? Well, we'll get into that in a few seconds, but let me just give you how great it is. If you're born today, the average guy in America born today, the average male baby, will live to 76.3. That's actually a decrease over last year of 0.2 years. The average woman to 81.2. So it's about a five-year gap. Women are living about 5 years longer. We're one of the longer societies in that difference, presumably because of violence in our youth. But in any case, women are living about 5 years longer. Now, if you're age 65, you don't get quite as much benefit. At age 65, men will live to be someplace between 83 and 84. Women who are age 65 live to 86. So it's about a 2.5-year advantage at age 65. So half of the decrease isn't in violent deaths and suicides and opiate overdoses, all more common in men. It is in chronic disease and the things that get you when you get older. So that's the gender gap in life expectancy. We also have a story this week on a simple way to decrease improper antibiotic prescribing. That's right. Antibiotics are prescribed a great deal more than they should be. And this study looked at why is it prescribed this way, and what can we do about it? And what they found is that if you call it out, that is, if you publish the places where antibiotics are misprescribed? That is it more common at Johns Hopkins than at some other place? And how do they define it? And how do you keep the records? Well, they did all that, and when they call it out, that is found. But this was even more interesting. What they did is they just published a poster in their primary care, seven primary care physician offices, and they didn't in another, and they looked at it, and they saw that the inappropriate antibiotic prescribing rates in the places where these posters appeared went from 43.5% of the antibiotics prescribed were inappropriate to 33.7%. So that's about a 30% fall. On the other hand, those places just happened with time. It increased from 44% to 52%, so about a 25% increase. Major change, just putting a poster up. What did the poster say? Well, the poster said, and it was written at a eighth grade level, detailed the side effects of antibiotics, why they weren't effective, and why, in fact, you need bacteria in your gut to fight the viral infections, and that most of the times the colds were due to viral infections. So another key point is that most antibiotics don't need to be prescribed. We're learning that more and more, that people are getting it inappropriately, and this is a way of cutting down on that. Remember, 10 minutes when we go to the interview, we've got Karen Herbst talking about lymphedema and lipidemia nutrition guideline. Now, one of the other things this week in the medical news, we called it the wellness foreplay. Are you cold enough? Well, that's because the FDA over the past several weeks has outlined its data needed for over-the-counter sunscreen additives, and this was just kind of rubbing salt in our wounds of those who are living in the areas that have become gray. And believe it or not, as I'm looking outside in Cleveland right now, we've got a full-fledged snowstorm. I'm going to be getting a lot of steps with my Garmin as I shovel snow. That's right. It's the only time you get more steps with your arms than your legs. One of the times you do that is when you're shoveling snow. You get, at least when I shoveled snow during the last time we had a blizzard, we do have a snow removal service contract, but I still enjoyed the exercise of shoveling. At least I did then. I don't know if I still will this year, but I did then. And when you shovel, you get a lot more steps when your pedometer is on your wrist than when on your waist. Anyway, the FDA outlined the data needed for over-the-counter screening. Don't pay any darn attention to any sunscreen that isn't just zinc oxide. Zinc oxide is a sunscreen. Micronized is what you want. It blocks UVA, it blocks UVB, even blocks UVC. That's what you want, a physical block. All these chemical things, they get into your body. That's what the FDA warned against. So the FDA has taken 9 years for any of these European new additives to get approved because they're chemicals that get into your body and may, I emphasize may, but in some animal models do actually ruin your liver. So just use the physical zinc oxide. What happens if zinc gets in your body? Okay, you pee it out. You get a little more zinc. No big deal. But micronized zinc oxide is the sunscreen. And put it on, even in the, well, I don't know if I'm going to put it on in a day like today where there's snow out. Yes, you do. But I'm going to cover up physically with gloves and hats and scarves and everything else. When you're covered from head to foot and you can barely, your eyes can't be seen, maybe you don't need sunscreen. But every other day, when you're outside, even when it's snowing, the sun comes through those clouds and can burn you, or at least can give you sun damage, so you want it on every day. Next story was moderate drinking is tied to a lower stroke risk. Do we need to know that? Yeah, it really is tied to a lower stroke risk. And why is that? It's there in a lower stroke risk because drinking alcohol, whether wine, and there's no difference between white wine versus red wine. Actually, there is, but you have to have 180 bottles of it to make a difference. So you're not going to have 180 bottles a night, believe me. So I don't think you are anyway. So red wine, white wine, beer, spirits, one drink a night decreases stroke risk because it decreases arterial inflammation. It increases cancer risk. Where's the balance? The balance is 1 to 2 drinks a night for men, 1/2 to 1.5 for women. That's where your stroke risk, heart disease risk is lower. Your cancer risk is a little higher. So the balance in the typical American is you get a benefit, and that's where your maximum benefit is. If you have a high cancer risk in your family, you know, we're going to have to, producer Donna, we got to have Mark Penn on to talk about, some people have cancer risks, some people have cardiovascular or heart disease or stroke or kidney failure risks. Usually people don't have both. So in the families where you've got cancer on both sides of your family, avoid the alcohol. If you're not already drinking, certainly avoid it. And if you got heart disease risk, that's when you want to have the one drink a night or 2 drinks a night. We're going to come right back with our guest right after this word. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, a show that's passionate about giving you the information so you can take control of your health and live at the highest quality ever, so that you can live the longest and with the highest quality, so you are, as what Gene Chatsky and I in our new book, Age Proof, say, comes out February 28th. You can order it, pre-order it, please do so, at Amazon.com, smile.amazon, and you get a gift for a charity of your choice. But Amazon.com, pre-order Age Proof now, so you'll live longer without running out of money or breaking a hip. We'll have Gene on pretty soon, too. But in the meantime, we've got a great guest on, Karen Herbst, author of The Lymphedema, L-Y-P-H-E-D-E-M-A, and Lipedema Nutrition Guide, How to Treat It. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. This is Podcast 818.